Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of my favorite podcast, Cashflow Positive. I may or may not be biased, but here we are. So I have a special guest with us today, Tanya Rooney. Now, Tanya has over 17 whopping years of real estate investing experience. She's got a background in commercial real estate investing. She's done fix and flips, and she has some SDRs. And she's from the Midwest, so she knows all about the cold and the snow, but at the same time, just came back from Thailand. I'm really jealous about that. Anyway, so, but what we're going to be talking about today, before I bring in Tanya and she just spills all the beans and dives into stuff, we're going to be talking about your secret weapon for success, okay? So a lot of you are, I know the listeners, most of you don't have a lot of properties. Some of you don't have any properties at all. And some of you have a lot and you want even more, and that's totally fine. How do we do that? How do we reach that success in that amount of time that we want to achieve it? That's what Tanya is going to dive into. So without further ado, Tanya, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
All right. So my name is Tanya Rooney. I have short-term rentals in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So this is the market that I'm in. I've always functioned in this market like any of the real estate stuff I've done. I've been in real estate for like 17 years now, which feels really, really gross to say. But I started out in commercial real estate pretty much straight out of college doing project management. And then I got into flipping because I was sick of commercial real estate. And then I got into short-term rentals like accidentally. And it has been absolutely fantastic. I love it. I love being in real estate in general. And then, so that's pretty much in a nutshell what I got going.
Cool. So are you just doing short-term rentals right now? Or are you doing other stuff?
At the moment, I have my short-term rentals, and then I do commercial real estate consulting, and then I have a podcast. So those are the three things that are mainly taking up most of my time.
Nice. And what's your podcast called? Go ahead and give yourself.
It's called Tribe Builders Podcast, on all the things that you find podcasts, all the places.
Tribe Builders Podcast. That's awesome. Okay. So you do commercial real estate. What type of commercial real estate?
So I used to do like project management and corporate real estate, and I did that for 10 years, and I've actually kind of picked up projects here and there as I go. So in a nutshell, what I used to do was somebody would find a space, like let's say it's an office space or an industrial space, and somebody needs to get into that space. So I would bring in an architect, a general contractor, I would oversee scope, schedule, a budget to get them into the new space, get them new furniture, move them in, and then decommission their old space. So I still do some of that consulting. A lot of it is move management. So I will move, you know, 1,000 people from one place to the next. So I'll coordinate the whole entire thing with departments. And then I also do decommissions. So there's a lot of people that are still closing offices and just sending people to work from home full time, or they're closing altogether and they'll call someone like me and I'll get rid of all of their stuff essentially, and then make sure it's ready to give back to a landlord, which is a little bit different than, you know, a lot of us are in residential real estate, at least in our realm. And when it comes to commercial, it's very clear what you have to do. So I help them interpret their lease and make sure they're not doing too many things, because a lot of people also get it in their head, well, I have to do this because this is just what you should do. And it's like, no, if it's not in the lease, you actually don't have to. It's very black and white in commercial, which is super fun for me.
Yeah. So are you still doing that now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I meant to ask you this before, but you know, whatever, it's a podcast, right? You can just have these conversations live, right? Are you still looking at boutique hotels?
So I partnered on a motel last year for 6 months or 7 months, and then I exited in December. So yes, I did have that whole thing. And I know that's probably one of the reasons you were like, what are you working on right now? So I had 6 months at a motel where I was redoing it, running it, like learning how to do a motel. And we have since parted ways in the beginning of September or December.
Okay. All right.
You don't have to learn
or any other in details, but I'm nosy, right? Like, I got to know. And I'm sure people listening are like, all right, well, okay, why? So what happened?
Okay. So honestly, like there is a longer version. I'm going to try to shorten it. So In 2023, in June of 2023, I went under contract on a motel in Balsam Lake, Wisconsin, which is about an hour from the Twin Cities where I live. I actually talked to you at that point, trying to figure out how do I do these numbers, because I don't know how to underwrite a motel. So I found the people that can help me underwrite motels. I joined a boutique motel mastermind with Blake Daly. He helped me underwrite everything. You helped me with numbers. And I really got to the point where I canceled it like three times. And then finally at the end, I was like, no, I have to cancel this. And it was just because there weren't numbers there, like just to back up all the stuff that I wanted to do, because I had a vision of this cool property. And even if I put $1 million into the school property, it would never be worth a $1.5 million property. Like that's not what numbers would hold. So it would probably, I think at some point when it is at its prime, it'll probably be an $800,000 property. Like right now, today, that's what I really feel, but I don't think it's there yet. And I think it needs some time. So fast forward. So that happened, like I canceled it in probably September, October of 2023. Fast forward to April-ish of 2024, I started talking to one of the partners that was still on that motel they hadn't been able to sell it yet, but they didn't have a partnership that was really strong anymore. They had, they were both from, you know, one was 7 hours away and one was a plane ride away for sure. So they had a conversation with me and said like, hey, would you want to come in if I can buy my partner out? And I was super interested in getting to hang out with that owner, honestly. Like I really... It was just like, she has a completely different skill set than mine. She has a completely different mind. Like she has an econ background and stuff like that. So I wanted to jump into it. My first mistake was probably just not asking more questions to be aligned, like right at the get-go. I was just like, yeah, I'd probably give that a try. And then a few weeks later, she finally got, like, she had been trying to get her partner to like kind of sell her share for a while. And she kept saying no, but this time she's like, yep, sounds good. So me and my husband moved up there in May of 2024. And we started, like, we were planning to bring some money, and the money was all going to be about the changes that we were going to make, and then we were going to run it and all that stuff. So we moved up there because there was enough work and we can do enough of the work that we were just like, well, we'll just move up there and make all these changes. So that's what we did all summer. We learned how to figure, motels are different. Like, I really, really
love short-term rentals. Is this the same building that you showed me, by the way?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And this thing
is exact. Yes.
This needed some work. So,
yeah. Yeah, it did. And they, not to say that when they bought it, you know, however many years prior to that, they did work on it. Like it was really, really gross when they bought it. And it just wasn't up to my standards. That's probably the like safest way to say is like, this isn't up to my standards. Like I have expectations of what a short-term rental would look like. So like the look, feel, and what a client would feel when they actually rented it. So we made those changes. We actually themed it. We, you know, did a rebrand, did all of that stuff. And then we were learning how to run a motel all summer long, learning all the differences between short-term rentals and hotels. And there are some, the main one being your phone will ring a ton and expectations are different with a motel. And so we did that all summer. It went really good. Like, you know, we were up to like 10 rooms, I think by the time, or maybe 11 rooms by the time we left. But really in the whole scheme of things, like the owner that still owns it wants to get rid of it because she's got a lot of money into it. And honestly, she's really good at apartment buildings. She doesn't want to have this kind of business. So she wanted to get rid of it. I told her we needed at least a year to get some numbers, honestly, like so a bank would say yes to anything, because anything like right now, it was losing enough money or like wasn't breaking. If it was breaking even, that still doesn't mean it's making money. And if it's only got a $700 mortgage, it doesn't take much to do that. So we had to prove to the banks that it was going to make money, because in commercial real estate, that's what it is. The banks just want to see money. It's like black or white. It's not about like what you could make. It's what the books say. So I had said we needed a year to actually get the books to a place where we could sell it. She agreed to that. And then at the end of the summer, some stuff came up and she needed to try to sell again. And I said, okay, I didn't really want to be partnered on something that I knew was going to be leaving. So really there was just a lot of expectations that were different between the two of us. And then, yeah, kind of fast forward a couple more months and I was able to connect her with a manager that has another hotel, I think somewhere. And then he has a lot of short-term rentals in their portfolio. And I say he, but it's a whole team. And yeah, so I was able to walk away and it was a really, really good experience, honestly. Like I learned, do I want to run at a short-term rental or do I want to run at a boutique hotel? And they're very, very different businesses. And somebody that's really good at building teams would be so great at motels and hotels, because you need a solid team to be helping you with stuff like that. And I really think it could make a lot of money. But the way that I work and the goals that I have or just not necessarily that. So yeah.
Good. So just out of curiosity, what would you have done differently? Like asked at the beginning?
It would have been a lot of numbers questions. Like honestly, like kind of saying like, what are your expectations? I think getting really honest with each other in the beginning would have been more helpful. I had some weird, like I had a weird feeling every time, like we were butting up against the same thing. And honestly, I didn't have the confidence to think that I could be right for what I wanted. I was more like, well, she knows what she's doing. Maybe I just don't understand this number that she keeps talking about. That, and now I'm just understanding is that like she was here and I was here completely. Like I was in a completely different zip code at that point, honestly. Yeah. And my goals were like, I was really excited to kind of have a partner and like, you know, get to learn from her. And she wants nothing to do with that sort of the part of the business because she's just over it. Like I came in on chapter, like it was my chapter one and her chapter 11 or chapter seven. Sorry, I'm not even saying like, not saying that in a weird way. But she was already so much further ahead on this thing. And like, as in she didn't want it because she's already over it. And to me, it was a fun new project. So we just weren't aligned in those ways. That's probably, and I don't, in hindsight, I don't even know how I would have done that differently anyways. I pretty much needed the lesson. I like 100% know that I needed the lesson with that partnership and to realize that there's still really, really good partnerships out there that like people fully align. She probably has all kinds of partnerships that fully align. It's just ours didn't happen to align as well as it needed to.
Sure. Okay. That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. And not what we wanted to talk about today, but I think it's what we should have talked about today. So here we are. I love it. Sometimes these episodes go just weird direction, not weird, but just different directions that you're unexpected.
You'd expect.
And it's good. It's great. I think people are going to benefit from this. So thank you for sharing that. Let's get back on track or on track. We didn't even get on the track to begin with, but whatever. We're getting there. We're at the station, right? You just got back from a three week month long trip to Thailand. Weeks. And you travel, I see you at events and just running around and you're meeting a lot of people. You're obviously very social. If anyone hasn't picked that up by now, I think I'm spoiling that for everyone. But anyway, I would say there's a level of success to that, you know, and that you've obtained so far. I know you've probably have some goals and other things you want to achieve, but you have reached a level of success. And that's what I want to talk about is, you know, your secret weapon for success. And what we talked about before this, before we hit the record button here, what was that? And so, obviously that's like the topic and we're going to dive into that and dissect it. But really what I want to start with though is how do you approach achieving your goals? Because that's really where it starts is I have a goal to achieve, you know, a lot of these people, they're not real estate investors. They want to be real estate investors full time or they want to be able to cut back from their hours and things. And so just that flexibility and that freedom. So it starts with a goal. How do we attack this? How do we have that success?
So the thing that makes me the most successful over the last, like I've been in residential real estate for maybe like 7 years now, maybe 8 years or something when I started flipping. And to me, it's always been about accountability groups. I know it's like a really random thing, but the reason that I say those are what makes me successful is I don't necessarily just show up for myself in ways that some people do. I'm not driven by money. If somebody told me that if I made 100 phone calls, I could get a $50,000 house, I would never make those 100 phone calls. I know I could make $100,000. I know I could make $300,000. I would never make those phone calls because it's just not the way that I'm motivated personally. I'm motivated by other humans. So my secret to success is either finding the other humans or utilizing social media in ways to keep myself accountable. So like literally putting out there like, hey, like this year, 2025, I'm not planning to eat gluten the whole entire year. And I put it out on social media because weirdly, people will ask me about it all year. They will literally check in and I never know when it's going to happen. And that is enough accountability for me to not do the thing. And I also like made a decision, which sometimes I can just do, but I just find the most success that I can have is when I'm checking in with people, because when you're an entrepreneur, you no longer have to check in with anybody. I am one of the fortunate few or fortunate many that got to quit their corporate job and not have to do like any of that stuff anymore. So I don't have to check in with anybody. Like I'm the top and the bottom. I get to do whatever the heck I want in between. And that could mean that I might not do work as often as maybe I could, because sometimes I only work a few hours a week. And sometimes my business really doesn't need me more than a few hours a week. So that's cool. That's what I built. But the other times when I want to get something accomplished, I have to utilize friends in my community and peers in my community as motivation to show up. Because when somebody else is assuming that I'm going to show up for them as well, I show up and I say, yep, I did that thing that I said I was going to do. So
that's really, really cool. Okay. So accountability, let's talk about that some more. So most people are not afraid, but just don't care to be in the limelight, you know, like, so some people don't want to post on social media, hey, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year, or I'm going to buy like 3 rental properties this year and be a millionaire or whatever, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like people don't want to do that. So how do you go about finding these groups that you can trust and be open to? Because that's a big part of it too, right? Like being open with somebody else and also wanting to help them as well. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So this is probably one of my gifts. I would call it maybe even a superpower at this point.
Okay.
Because at first when I started with accountability groups, I was in a group called Seven Figure Flipping. It was a mastermind and they did accountability groups. And then I just helped lead them. I, you know, it was all about them. But once I exited that group, now I just make my own. And that could mean, like, I'm pretty specific. Like right now I've got a group that it's turned into a coffee club more than an accountability group, but it started out as an accountability group. And we've been meeting for 2 years every Thursday. And it's about like finding the people, like I'm already in the groups of people I really like. And that means I've joined masterminds for the things that I'm interested in. Like I'm in a short-term mental mastermind. I used to be in a mindset mastermind. So my mindset mastermind, I hit it off with a couple of people when I was in real life. And I had already known them. I was like, hey, do you guys want to just start meeting? And they all said yes. And then, but the other group, I think one of the most important groups I've created, we call ourselves the Great Eight. We do not meet anymore. We meet via text message only. Like I'll be honest. Like I don't, but you know, it's probably been like 2 or 3 years at this point. So we started out though meeting every single week. And we would have a call and then we kind of turned it into round tables and things like that. But in the beginning, when I start a group, I typically like pick the people that I really, really want to learn from. So if I'm in a short-term mental mastermind, I'm going to see the people that are already contributing to the group. So the people that are, I think technically Facebook will even tell you, this is a rising contributor. This is a group expert, like whatever. They're the little people with the little ethereal crowns and stuff that Facebook dubs that they talk a lot in Facebook.
All-star contributor.
Yeah. Rising star.
I get peanut gallery on mine all the time.
And they could also be people like, if you're in a short-term rental group or I mean, whatever business group you're in, if you're on calls, like, you know, like actual calls for the mastermind or something you're in, it's the people that you gravitate towards. Those are the ones that you would want to go for. And then, so then I send them messages and say like, hey, would you be interested in something like this? I'm looking for some accountability. I want to, you know, we're going to meet once a week for an hour. You know, we'll talk about our goals. We talk about our goals for like 5 minutes each, if that, you know, it could be 2 to 3 minutes. And it's really a yes, no. That whole structure is Brian Moran's 12-week year. And it's just like my version of 12-week year now, though. So you come up with the goals. And I actually do work with people on like how this is how you set a goal. This is what you need to do. The steps, like you can't control the outcome. You can't control the outcome of buy 3 houses. You can control all the steps to buy the 3 houses, though. You can control like how many offers you need to make. And this all comes back to when I was flipping houses and finding stuff off market. I knew for every 30 phone calls or 30 or 100 postcards I sent out to somebody's mailbox, every 100, I would get 1 house. So if I knew that stat, that's how you know like what your goal or what your weekly numbers need to look like. Like, okay, if I know I need to make 100 offers to get 1 deal and I want to get 3 deals in 12 weeks, well then, you know, I would just put that on a sheet of paper of how many calls I needed to make. So we check in on those and it's just yes, no. And then the rest of the time is round table. Like who has like, you know, who has some challenges they need help with, who has some successes that we need to celebrate, because entrepreneurs don't celebrate themselves very often. We pretty much are just like, oh yeah, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. So we talk about that, and you're smirking, Kenny, because I know you're like that. 120% yeah. You are.
You're not that type of person. You're never looking back. You're always looking forward. So you're like, all right, what else?
So. I know. So it just kind of like, it just turned into this thing where I just wanted to hang out with my friends, because really, like, I still have friends locally in Minnesota. That's not, you know, they're not all gone. But once you get into the entrepreneurial world, you have to figure out something completely different. You can't hang out with the people that are drinking every single week. Doesn't mean you can't do that. Like, I'm not taking that away from you. But if you want the success that you're probably trying to chase, because there's a certain type of person that chases this stuff, you need to hang out with people that are also chasing those things. And it's way easier to do that when you're around those people. So a lot of it is the accountability helped me, but the conversations help everybody. And then there's a text string, you know, like, hey, how did that thing go? Did you actually close on that house? Like, there's a lot of that stuff. And then everyday things. So they typically digress into just a text string of whatever's going on. So, yeah.
Have you heard of the law of attraction? Not like physical attraction, but like.
Yes. I believe in it, and very, very intensely too.
I do as well. So those listening, you don't know what that means. Basically, the people who you surround yourself impact who you become and what you achieve. So if you surround yourself with a bunch of losers, there's a high probability you're going to become a loser, right? And it's like you become an average of the group of people that you surround yourself around. So if you're the rising star and everybody else around you is not trying, it's going to drag you down. And so I think, Tanya, what you said, and I think it's really important that people understand, is like, if you're really trying to achieve something, first off, figure out what it is that you want to achieve, right? Like, have a goal, you know, whether it's a certain income level or like more time freedom or whatever it is, have some sort of goal or achievement, but then actively surround yourself by other people, like-minded individuals who might have the same goal. You know, I'm thinking of, I had a really good conversation with a client of mine and good friend now, become good friends with some of my clients. So a lot of my clients, there we go. Cause I have to, you know, talk to them a lot and get to know them and everything. And you know, he's a physician, really successful physician. And he wants to be able to cut back and I believe go into short-term rentals, like 100%. And he's a neurologist or radio? I don't know. He's going to come. He's told me like several times, but anyway, cool guy. He listens to the show. So I'll get some message after this, but really, really smart. But he also wants to get into real estate investing. And we were talking the other day about how he can do that. And one of the things that popped in my head recently was, hey, go surround yourself by other physicians who've achieved what you've wanted to achieve. Because he was kind of telling me, like, he's got two properties now and they're really successful and he's looking to do more. But he's like, man, this is taking a lot longer than I thought. And I was like, yeah, it's not an overnight thing. You know, like you don't just boom, replace, you know, however much income you're making overnight. You got to grind, you got to hustle, you're an entrepreneur. And I like talking to him, I was like, you know, you got to find people who have achieved what you wanted to achieve, surround yourself with, because then it becomes like, it's so funny when you talk to those people, I don't know if you ever had those experiences where they're just like, yeah, all you got to do is X, Y, and Z. And you're like, it's that simple, you know? And they're like, yeah, I did it. And this is how I did it. And you're like, oh, wow, like, I can do that too. And that's what you got to do, that belief, it's a mindset.
Yeah. If you want to own 100 houses, hang out with people that own 100 houses. Like, they don't all have to own 100 houses, but people that are trying to achieve the 100 houses, like, and that's something that I think about with my accountability groups is you want to stagger. You can't have too many newbies because they take up so much time but you need some of those people that like you want to be holding your hand down and pulling people up. And then you want to be putting your hand up and being brought up. So if you want to own 100 houses, you would go and hang out with people that own 100 houses. Like that's honestly, it's so silly to say it, but it's fucking true because you all of a sudden have access to somebody that knows how to buy 100 houses.
Yeah. And my favorite thing is I tell people all the time, I prefer to be the dumbest person in the room, you know?
Yeah. Like, honestly, the most successful people have that attitude. Like I know so many people that are just like, I want to be in the back of the room, just listening. I don't want to be the most, you know, like the most knowledgeable because I don't know, like it's not.
Yeah, I don't want to be. Yeah, like I don't want to be this guy, you know, the celebrity or whatever. Like, because then it becomes work because everyone's asking for advice and like, which is not a big deal. But so there's this level of like, are you there to learn when you talk to these people, or are you there to work and help people? And so you got to, I mean, it's okay to do both, but you got to have time for yourself to be around those types of people who can lift you up and teach you where you're like, hey, I need help.
Yeah, Kenny, you're actually a really, really good example. Like, it just popped into my head that how good of an example you are right now. And I'm not trying to make you blush, but I go to events that you would typically be at and you're there to help people though. Like, now you're a service provider as well as an owner. You're not there anymore to learn because you get swamped with humans because they're so excited that you're like a mini celebrity in our industry. But now you've had to find other rooms to be in so that you can achieve things because you're too distracted when you're around those people. Like, you're not there anymore to learn how to make more money on your short-term rentals because you know how to. Now you have to find a different room, which is, it is a level up. It's a couple of levels up, and you probably have found them because now you're trying to make your business do different things because you're done with the basics. Like, you don't need like these three chapters or the first three chapters of the first three levels. Now you're on level 7, 8, 9, or right. You're like, you know, now I want to make millions of dollars, not just $1 million.
Yeah, no, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's wild. Like, some of the stuff I'm working on now, last year I've been like, whoa, that's like, I'm not there yet, you know? And then now it's like, okay, this is, you know, the price points and the, I was showing somebody, someone's like, can I see your portfolio? I was like, yeah, sure. Here, it's on Airbnb. Just look at my hosting link. And they're like, okay, you have a house that's like 3,000 square feet. And then you have this one that's 10,000 square feet. I was like, yeah, you know, like we grow, right? Like, I was like, if you look, I like showed them some of my first properties when I got started, you know, it was like a little apartment unit, one bedroom. Mm-hmm. We all got to start somewhere, but it's important on, you know, how we're growing and scaling and then who we're surrounding ourselves by. And then there comes a point in time when we go, this group that I'm in, it's reached its potential. Now I need to go to the next step. And I think that's a huge part of the success factor too, is when you, as you grow, as you take those leaps, keep surrounding yourself by those people who've taken those leaps and who are further along too. So yeah, that's a big piece. So community though, that was another one you mentioned too. And I want to talk about that a little bit because there's a lot of people who are maybe struggling to find community and know what to look for and feel like there's a lot of crap being sold. Let's be honest. Okay. There's a lot of crap being sold in our space, and it's hard to know who and what and to trust different individuals and know where to go and what to do. And so how does one cut through the crap? Because I've seen you in different groups before. It's funny. Like, I'll sometimes in a Facebook group or something, I'll be like, holy crap, Tanya's in this one too. Like, man, she's everywhere. Like, she knows how to find groups and stuff like that with meaning. But like, well, we met at Thanks for Visiting. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen you at other events too.
Yes. Handfuls. So, yeah. SDR Wealth and Level Up Your Listing typically are the ones I go to.
Yeah, there. Yeah, everywhere.
So they're really the only ones I go to. Money. It's okay. You go to so many at this point. You're just like always there.
Yeah, always starts to blend together after a while. Was that one in Colorado or Pennsylvania? Anyway, so how are you finding these communities, and how are you able to go like, yeah, I want to surround myself by the people in this community?
Yeah. So, I interview communities before I join. If it's like Stacy St. John's community is less than $100 a month. Like, you don't need to interview somebody for less than $100 a month. I think it's like $40 a month to be in hers, maybe even 30. Like, that's just something you just join and you check out the Facebook group. But if you're going to spend a couple thousand dollars up to $20,000, like I've spent more on groups, which you get to a certain point where you're just like, well, you could hear one or two tidbits that will save you the whole entire amount of money, or they'll make you that much money. Like,
that's a pretty good point. Yep.
And that should be your goal, actually. Yep. Like, I mean, if you're going to spend $2,000 on a group, you should expect to make at least $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 because of the knowledge in that group. So the thing that I do is I interview the people, like whoever owns the group. Like, I've done this with a couple, like, this is how I've chosen a lot of different groups. I ask questions. I want to know, like, how involved they are, because they're the figureheads at this point. So are they just a figurehead? Do they actually coach in their groups? Are they on the calls? And then when I'm on that call, I ask for references. Like, I want to know people in the group and I want to be able to talk to them. So, because I want to talk, and I pretty much just like word it, like, I want to talk to the normal people. So can you pick me up with them? And every one of them, I mean, they're going to pick the normal people that really like the group. Like, obviously, that's just how it works. But you're still going to be able to at least discern some things from those people. So I actually make those calls, just like references when you're checking on a contractor. You shouldn't be lazy with this, because maybe someone will see, like, they'll tell you the things that aren't the best about the group, but they'll tell you the things that are the best about the group. And I think those questions or those conversations have always like steered me in the right direction. And then another thing is, like, I do try to stalk people on the internet. The reason I joined Thanks for Visiting was because I was listening to their podcast. And one of their coaches, Mike Hicks, he's 100% the reason I joined. And it's just because I found out, like, he was on their podcast. I was listening to it and I just decided I wanted to be friends with him. So I was like, well, if he's hanging out here, 100% the reason that I joined them. I love it because some of my closest friends right now are out of that group, and it's so amazing, like the best peers ever. But it was all because of that one podcast that I just got this really good feeling that I wanted to be friends with that guy. And within 6 months after I joined, I forced him into friendship, and he likes me mostly. This is what I do. This is kind of like one of my talents. So I'll be honest, I know not everybody can do stuff like this, because I can make friends in a lot of, like, I could probably make friends with a wallpaper wall. Like, I just would talk their ear off. But I think asking around for people is really good. Like, there's so many people. You're right. There's so many gurus. There's so many masterminds, like, flooding the market right now. I've still come across ones that I'm like, I've never even heard of this person. What are you talking about? And that surprises me, because I feel like I go to the bigger industry events. Uh-huh. I follow a lot of these people, and some of them I still have never heard of. So I try to look around on the internet and be like, what are people actually talking about? Like, if you want to join Rich Sommer's group, like, you should follow him on the internet and find out, does he talk the way that you want to be talked to? Is he trying to run towards the goals that you're trying to run to, and then try to find like some of his followers? So I try to do that. And I kind of, like, you're underwriting a property, underwrite the group.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I love that. Especially like my thinking is very like logical. So like when I approach it, I'm like, what's the ROI here?
You know, like, you totally are that way.
Yeah. Well, and people ask me all the time. It's kind of a cop between a rock and a hard place, because like sometimes people are like, oh, should I join this one group? And I'm like,
depends on your roles.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, why do you want to join the group? And they're like, oh, mm-hmm. You want to join the group? And I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just asking you why you specifically want to join the group. And they're like, oh, well, it sounds like it's really cool. And they're like people learning. And I'm like, that's not a reason why to join a group.
Not good enough reason right. to spend $8,000.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, ask the people in the group too. I love that where you talk, you get referrals. But like, ask people, like, are they achieving what they'd set out to do? And are they, you know, if you're looking to achieve something in particular or get something from the group, how is that going to be? There's a lot of groups out there that focus heavy on operations. That's great. But I deal with this all the time. I have a lot of calls I'll get with clients because we focus on acquisition. And mm-hmm. I'll sit down and they're like, oh, I joined, you know, I paid $10,000 for this group already. And, you know, we really want a property. And I'm like, you joined an operational group and you don't have mm-hmm. a short-term rental. And they're like, well, they said like they could like, they talk about it sometimes. And I'm like, you mean they have it's on like guest speakers like me mm-hmm. to talk about what I do? Yeah. And so it's like, what? Why are you joining? Like, number one, and then can you get that in a return of some sort from that group being in that group to help you? And if the answer is yes, there you go.
Yeah, I feel like I just did a disservice by not mentioning that, because that's just like such an obvious thing. You do need to figure out if you're aligned with whatever you need to do. Like, I joined Seven Figure because I wanted to figure out how to flip, you know, 10 properties at a time. And I wanted to figure out how to buy 10 properties at a time with somebody else's money, as well as like, how do I even do this? So that was the group. Like, that was a very, very like specific group that I wanted to join. And you're right. There's not a ton of people that teach acquisitions in short-term rentals it's funny because I even do some coaching and I want nothing to do with acquisitions. I'm just like, you can come to me once you have the property, but I'm not a good person to talk to. I typically send them to you, Kenny, because I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with that. So if you know what you want or how you're going to get there, that is like, I mean, you don't need to know about operations until you get the property, because some people, I mean, I know a guy who makes 100 offers a week on boutique motels and he doesn't have one yet. And he's been doing this for a few months. Like, it has to be the right property with the correct with the correct ROI, and all of these things have to be in place before you can even do the operations. Mm-hmm. So knowing what you want out of a group is really important to begin with.
You
want to learn or whatever. If you want to become a co-host, cool. Are you starting from A or B? How much money do you even have? Like, that stuff all should come into consideration. Don't take out a small loan for stuff like this, because there's groups for $1,000 that can teach you how to be a co-host or become a co-host or to get clients. You don't need to spend $15,000 on something like that.
Right. And frankly, it's all on YouTube.
Yep. YouTube University. If you want a community though, the reason that I tell like masterminds are so great is because I learn from other people. Like, I don't want to get sued. I want to know the people that have gotten sued, and I want to know why they've gotten sued and how they're going to prevent it going forward. Like, those are the people I'm looking for, is like the ones that have been around for a long time. I'm not looking for 100 newbies. Blech.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like they don't know what they're doing yet.
Right. So I joke about the YouTube thing. It's real. But at the same time, though, I don't want to devalue the communities, because there is a huge value. I believe if you want to be successful, you have to be a part of a community at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it is that way. I think it's law of attraction, like-minded individuals. Mm-hmm. Part of it too is this is a long journey. Just like my friend, the physician, him realizing like this is going to take a while. Like, this is a long haul. There's no such thing as a get-rich-quick scheme in real estate that's like legal. You know,
it's just not. No, like, they're really.
I just want to emphasize legal, because it just really isn't. Like, it takes time. You can do it. You know, it's patience and things, but you can do it. But in order to get there, I think to have the endurance, you got to be surrounded by like-minded individuals. That might change over time with, you know, who and what and everything. Yeah. But the reality is, like, surround yourself by these people, because that really is, in my opinion, that's one of the secrets, the secret weapons for success. Dun, dun, dun. So
it totally is though, because you're the people that are around you in your normal life, completely fine. Like, they are still going to be on your side when you're just like, dang it, this guest just broke all this stuff and I need to do this. They're going to totally show up and be like, damn, those guests, I hate them too. That's super cool. But you can only have so many of those friends in your life. You need someone that can be like, okay, you know, what does your agreement look like? Do you have safely? Do you have, you know, what kind of insurance do you have? Like, how fast are you going to be able to get the replacements? Do you use HostGPO? Do you use Minoan? Like, that's the beauty of having a community, is you're going to have best practices, whether you like it or not. And you're going to have people say, quit fucking whining about it and go and change, like go and do the next thing. Or they're going to tell you, well, hey, you've had like 5 guests in a row that keep breaking things. Are you priced too low? Because it sounds like you might be in a spot that people that can't afford a house to break things, like, those are the people that you want to go up to. So I think having the value of the community is the things you don't even know yet. It's the best practices of 5 different people, and then you get to choose what's my best practice now, because I have different houses, I have all these different things. Well, then you just meld all these opinions together, or all these ways of doing it, and you make up your own. And and you wouldn't have that. You go so much further faster when you have people that know that. Just know what they're doing. Like, hanging out with somebody who's been a host for 20 years. Are you kidding? Like, I love those people, because they have completely different views on what's going on in the short-term rental industry. Mm-hmm. And they have different ways of doing things. And then me as a newbie-isher, I can tell them like, hey, why aren't you doing this? You can make this much more by, you know, automating this process. So it's just the beautiful connections that you can make that make everybody better, you know? Like, best practices are freaking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. No. I love it. All right. As we're going to wrap it up here, any other secret weapons, any other tips or tricks or anything like that you want to add onto this?
Find yourself some accountability buddies. Like, honestly, it could be one other person. It could be 3 other people. Just say like, hey, do you just want to talk about business once a week, once every other week? It really does help. And if you need help, you're welcome to reach out to me. Like, I have kind of an ongoing list. Every now and again, we open up some accountability groups and say, does anybody want to come and hang? You just, like, when you have a problem, you literally have free Facebook groups suck. So if you pay a little bit of money to be part of a group, or if you join an accountability group that costs money, you're going to get better, you know, information than a free Facebook group. Because, you know, like, I'm in my free Facebook groups for Minnesota, and they're not great. Like, people throw shade on each other and they're rude to each other. But if you start, like, as you start paying for things, the level of conversations goes up. It goes up exponentially depending on how much you want to pay. So don't gripe about paying for things. Just go and do it, because you'll surround yourself with other people that want to pay to play as well. And they just, yeah, you'll just have better things happen. So I think that's probably the coolest thing.
That's really, yeah. I love that. Last question. So I asked all the guests this as part of the show. Cash flow positive. What's one tip? It could be about this, could be about anything with short-term rentals. One recommendation, one tip, a piece of advice that you could give people to help them cash flow positive with their short-term rentals.
Communication. If you communicate well with bad guests, with accidents, with all the things that happen in your house, you don't have to give refunds. You can just like communicate your way through whatever that problem is. And then you wouldn't have to give refunds, so you would make more money. Stop giving refunds.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome.
I don't know if that applies, Kenny, but it's true.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I really like that. Okay, cool. Cool. Well, thank you, Tanya, for being on here. I really appreciate it. This is really important stuff for those listening. I know it's not the numbers and the how-to nuts and bolts, but I think this is like, if you're not in a community or forming a group or building relationships with people in this space, you need to. So anyway, cool. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the show. I hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you on the next one. And thank you again, Tanya.
Thanks, Kenny.